And welcome in. It's the Doug Russell Podcast. It is officially the draft edition of the show, but you can't even begin to talk anything Packers without addressing the $12 million gorilla in the room. Of course, you can always catch us on our socials. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Doug Russell. You can find the show at Doug Russell Pod on Twitter. Also, you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and on Instagram as well. Instagram is at Doug Russell Pod. You can always drop us an email, DougRussellPod@gmail.com. But for all of that and all of our shows in one easy, convenient place, just go to our website, www.DougRussellPod.com. All right, let's jump into the show. Yes, we're going to get to the Packers draft, but what was clouding the entire draft? It was QB1. And there's one guy who had a big opinion on the Packers QB1, appearing on the Moose and Maggie show on WFAN Radio in New York, Hall of Famer Terry Bradshaw.
Okay, we know that Rodgers is not happy with the organization. There's a chasm between the two. Does Rodgers have a right to be this upset with the Packers?
With him being that upset shows me just how weak he is. Who the hell cares who you draft? I mean, he's a three-time MVP in the league, and he's worried about this guy they drafted last year at number one. Now, I don't know what was said behind the scenes. I don't know what, if he said, look, I'll play this year, and then I want out of here, and they said, fine, then he's the MVP in the league. I don't know. None of us know, unless he told some insiders, and they're saying if I don't hear it. And for him to be upset, my God, I don't understand that. Pittsburgh drafted Mark Malone, number one, Cliff Stout in the third or fourth round. I had them coming at me from all angles. I embraced it because when we went to practice, I wasn't worried about those guys. You know, it didn't scare me a bit. So I don't understand why he's so upset at Green Bay. And then if they fired the general manager, he'll come back. Are you kidding me? Really? Aaron, that's where this is. Here's what I'd do. I wouldn't budge. Let him gripe. Let him cry. Retire. You're 38. Go ahead and retire. See you later. I mean, I'm really strong about stuff like that. And it just makes him look weak. In my way of looking, it makes him look weak. You know, how dare you draft somebody? Or, you know, I played better. What did he say? I played better than they thought I would. Or I don't know. Oh, me being the MVP really screwed them, you know, really messed them up. Well, you're going to make, I don't know how much money. That obviously he doesn't need the money. So probably he's just retire and go do Jeopardy.
Hall of Famer Terry Bradshaw and Fox Sports analyst Terry Bradshaw appearing on the Moose and Maggie show on WFAN Radio in New York. The latest, as I record this from Yahoo Sports, Charles Robinson. The heart of Aaron Rodgers' beef, this should be a surprise to exactly no one, the heart of Aaron Rodgers' beef is Jordan Love. Not Jordan Love himself as a human being, but the fact that he's a member of the Green Bay Packers. Charles Robinson writes in Yahoo.com, the fracture points between Rodgers and Gutekunst largely revolve around the drafting of Jordan Love in 2020 without Rodgers having knowledge of the move. Since then, the source, Charles Robinson's source, said that Rodgers has believed that it was Gutekunst's plan to move on from him after the 2020 season, but that Rodgers smashed that timeline with his MVP performance. Rodgers' response, according to the source, was he presented the Packers with an opportunity to recommit to him after the season with a new contract, with new guaranteed money, that would ultimately cement Green Bay's all-in embrace of him as the starting quarterback for at least the next two seasons. The source said that the Packers were not initially willing to consider anything beyond a modest restructure of Rodgers' contract that would have done little more than guarantee the 2021 season. Rodgers is entering some of the same territory that Tom Brady trekked near toward his end with the New England Patriots. That's when Brady began to question the appreciation for his achievements in New England and whether he had any sway over some of the decisions that impacted him. This is part of what convinced Brady he needed a new setting when his contract ultimately came to an end with the Patriots. It's part of what is driving Rodgers to have his own questions about whether the Packers front office values him at this stage of his career. That and his suspicion that Gutekunst wants to ultimately move the team toward Love sooner than later has brought the brought Rodgers to the brink of no return. That from Yahoo Sports' Charles Robinson. So none of this is really all that new, is it? It's just seemingly confirmed. We all kind of knew that Aaron was pissed off when Jordan Love was drafted in the first place, when the Packers traded up to get a backup quarterback as opposed to a wide receiver in a wide receiver deep draft. In fact, the Packers didn't draft any wide receivers a year ago. We find out on Monday that Aaron wasn't happy with the Packers when they decided to release Jake Kumerow. We find out things over the weekend that the disconnect between Brian Gutekunst and Aaron Rodgers goes back a number of years, to the point where Aaron Rodgers would have preferred when Ted Thompson retired. And look, Aaron had his frustrations with Ted as well, because Ted was overly cautious. Ted very rarely dipped his toe into the free agent waters. Aaron preferred Elliott Wolf. If you look at Elliott Wolf, the son of Ron Wolf, well, what was Ron Wolf? Ron Wolf was a deal maker. Ron Wolf was a guy who, when he saw a quarterback that was buried on the bench in Atlanta, he traded a first-round draft choice to trade up and get him, Brett Favre. He saw him not roll the dice, but, you know, for the time, break the bank and go get Reggie White. When there was an opportunity to trade for an elite tight end like Keith Jackson, Ron Wolf pulled the trigger. And there were other guys, Andre Rison, Sean Jones, guys that weren't drafted by the Packers, but guys that were part of that Super Bowl 31 winning team, and guys that were part of that Super Bowl 32 Super Bowl losing team, but at least they got to the Super Bowl. You can talk about their game day preparation being as terrible as it was. And lots of stories have been made about that. Ron Wolf calling his team, and I quote after the season, a quote, fart in the wind. And then it kind of disintegrated after that. The next season was Mike Holmgren's final season as Packers head coach. It ended in a terrible way. That first game in the playoffs in San Francisco, when Terrell Owens caught one over the middle from Steve Young, and that's how the Packers lost. And then it just kind of disintegrated from there. The Mike Holmgren, Brett Favre era in Green Bay came to the thuddiest of thudding ends. I think I just made up a couple of words there, but it came to an end with a thud, is what I'm trying to say. It did. That was a missed opportunity for the Packers. And was it because Mike Holmgren had an ego that was too big? Was it because Mike Holmgren wanted too much control? Because Mike Holmgren wasn't a very good general manager. And what we saw from Ron Wolf is that, number one, he was a great general manager, and number two, he retired too early. If Ron Wolf would have hung on a couple of more years and not given the reins of and asked Bob Harlan to give the reins of the organization to the head coach, Mike Sherman, at the time, and made Mike Sherman a head coach general manager, I think the Packers might have gone for it again if Ron Wolf would have stuck around. Mike Sherman was a, and look at the record, because I caught some grief for saying this on the radio the other day, but I'll stand by this. If you look at his record, Mike Sherman was a good head coach. Also, if you look at the record, Mike Sherman was not a good general manager. And that's why you can't have a coach, at least in the NFL, and you don't see it in Major League Baseball. I think the last guy who was the manager, general manager, was Whitey Herzog back in the early 1980s with the St. Louis Cardinals. It doesn't happen very often because they're two wildly, distinctly different jobs. The coach is coaching to win now. The general manager, while winning now, is awesome and fantastic and the ultimate goal. You're also looking 2, 3, sometimes 4 years ahead. But Aaron Rodgers, a smart guy, he has talked about wanting to play until he's 45. And look, anytime a quarterback is over 35 years old and still playing, they're on borrowed time. There's only one Tom Brady. Drew Brees lasted into his 40s. It just doesn't, when you can name them just off the top of your head, how many quarterbacks lasted until they were 40 years old? Not very many. Aaron Rodgers knows that, and he knows that the window is closing. So when you had a need at wide receiver in a wide receiver-rich draft, why don't you go get a wide receiver? One of the things, and we'll talk about the draft coming up a little bit later on in the show, but one of the things that I think the Packers did well this year was they drafted for need. Unless someone is so much better than what you already have, drafting the quote-unquote best player available, it usually doesn't work because you've got needs. There are different things that teams have to do, and you need more than just one superstar. Sunday on a Q&A on Packers.com, Packers team president Mark Murphy, he really confirmed much of the story that's been reported. He said, quote, "This is an issue that we've been working on for several months. Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, and I have flown out on a number of occasions to meet with Aaron. We are very much aware of Aaron's concerns, and we've been working with him and his agent David Dunn to resolve them. We remain committed to Aaron in 2021 and beyond. He's not only a tremendously talented player, but he's developed into a true leader for us. The relationship that Aaron has forged with Matt and the other offensive coaches propelled us to the brink of the Super Bowl in two straight years. We look forward to competing for another Super Bowl championship with Aaron as our leader." End quote. That was Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy. Saturday, after 3 days of this being the issue in sports, and with the opportunity to address Packers fans through the media because of the draft, Brian Gutekunst was asked right off the bat, Thursday night, right after he made his first round draft selection of Eric Stokes, cornerback out of Georgia. This was the first question that was posed to him by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Ryan Wood.
Hey, Brian, there was a report today that Aaron's condition on returning is that you're no longer the GM. Has that been communicated to you in any way with your communication with him, with Mark, or with anyone?
You know, Aaron hasn't said anything like that to me and certainly hasn't said anything publicly. So I think it's a little unfair to kind of, you know, put that on him. But, you know, listen, you certainly don't like to hear those things. But at the same time, it's kind of part of the gig in the National Football League. So, but no, nothing's been communicated directly to me.
A couple of questions later, Sports Illustrated's Bill Huber. And he just kind of got to the heart of it.
Hey, Brian, I'm sure you're sick of talking about Rodgers like most of us are, but in the last 3 days, you've got on Thursday, the big report came out. Then Friday, there's stuff that he could retire. Then what happened Saturday? How do you get past this part? Never mind the big picture, but how do you get past this pissing match kind of stuff?
Yeah, I don't know if I really look at it like that, Bill. Like, you know, I think obviously there's, you know, some things can become complicated, and we're working through it the best we can. We've been working through it for a while, and again, we're very optimistic that we can get through this. For what's best for the Green Bay Packers, which is Aaron suiting up for us this fall.
And another question from longtime television reporter in Green Bay, Chris Roth.
Hey, Brian.
Hi, Chris.
Real quick, how concerned are you that this situation with Aaron is going to filter into other players who are going to be up for contracts, specifically Davante Adams? Those two are very close. Obviously, there's a big decision and a lot of money coming his way. Are you concerned about that trickle-down effect?
You know, I don't know if I've given it a ton of thought. I think, obviously, you know, with all our players that might be up for contract, I mean, we have a very good football team. This is a great organization. I think, you know, any player would be thrilled to be able to play here. You know, I'm concerned. I'm always concerned about our football team and where we're headed. Nothing specific has really crossed my mind at this moment.
That was Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst meeting the media on Thursday. Now, on Saturday, after the draft was over, that's when head coach Matt LaFleur got to step to the podium. And I'll give these guys credit. I'll give Gutekunst credit. I'll give Murphy credit. I'll give Matt LaFleur credit. They're not dodging the questions. There's some things that they cannot say, as we'll hear here in a second, when Rob Domofsky asks him a question that I think a lot of Packers fans want to know. But it's not like they're saying, we only want to talk about the draft. No, I mean, everybody's talking about this. And the Packers brass owes it to their fans to at least try to be as transparent as possible. Now, there, like I said, there are some things that you're just not going to talk about.
You've meshed as well as anyone has with Aaron since you've been here.
Yeah.
What has he told you that he wants?
Listen, Rob, I really appreciate the question. I'd like to keep every conversation that Aaron and I have had up to this point between us and You know, I know the reports out there. I mean, this guy is our quarterback, man, and he's our leader of our team, and I want nothing more than to see him back in a Packer uniform. And, you know, we've been able to accomplish a lot of great feats over the last 2 years, two straight NFC championship games. I know the seasons haven't ended the way we've wanted them to, but in my eyes, he's the greatest to ever do it. I don't care about Super Bowls or whatnot, but we want him back here.
That's all well and good, Matt, but what if he doesn't want to be back here?
Yeah, I know. And I can't even take my brain to that spot right now. So I just want to do everything in my power to ensure that that doesn't happen.
And then leave it to Sports Illustrated's Bill Huber once again to ask Matt LaFleur really a question that's at the heart of the matter.
You know, you've talked a lot about, you know, and I realize this is a COVID quote, but we're all in the sucker together, and obviously chemistry is such a big deal. When you sit back, do you wonder what the hell is going on with your chemistry with all this other stuff going on? Does that worry you that this thing that you've worked so hard to build over your 2 years is crumbling, blowing up potentially?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, there's been a lot of work over 2 years from everybody involved in this thing, from, you know, the personnel department to the coaching staff to all the support staff around our building, to our players. And, you know, certainly when you feel like you have a great team on the cusp, and we've been on the cusp 2 years, and I know that's not what we want. We want to hoist that Lombardi trophy, and you know, certainly you don't want to take any steps backwards. And we know that every year is going to be presented with new challenges. And like I told our team in our opening meeting, we're not hiding from anybody. We're going to have a big bullseye on our back. And so we've got to embrace that and work each and every day to keep improving. And so, yeah, certainly I don't want to take any steps backwards. And, you know, we'll just keep focusing on what we can control, and that's to be the best version of ourselves.
And then finally, a question from NBC26's Chancellor Johnson.
Matt, over the course of the season, Rodgers had hinted at some of the uncertainty of his future. But for you, how much of a sense that did you get that that we could get here to this point at the offseason?
Yeah, I've never really thought about that. I mean, like, you know, I can't fathom not being in Green Bay. So that's where my mind's at. I just, you know, I don't only love the player, but I love the person. I love working with him on a daily basis. I think we all do, from the players in that locker room to the coaching staff. And, I don't even want to let my mind go there.
So as for Aaron himself, he was at the Kentucky Derby again this year. NBC's Mike Tirico tried to interview him.
As they were walking in, I bumped into one of the VIPs here. Just happens to be the biggest news name in sports right now. That's Aaron Rodgers. We've heard of the story of Green Bay and what's going on with Aaron. He's here with his fiancée, Shailene Woodley, here this weekend. He didn't want to talk on camera. I can tell you, I characterize Aaron as disappointed that news has come out of this rift with the Packers. He expressed a couple of times how much he loves Green Bay, loves the fans, loves the franchise. There is a fissure. There is a chasm between management and the reigning NFL MVP. We're just not sure how this is going to play out. I'll watch closely over the next couple of weeks to see what we hear from the Packers side and when Aaron does speak. Interesting times ahead for sure in the National Football League this weekend.
Disappointed in the timing. Okay, Aaron, if you want to go with that, I don't know that there's anybody that doesn't believe that Aaron put this story out when he put this story out through intermediaries. Can anybody prove that? Well, I can't. So I can't for sure say that. I mean, but come on. This is what athletes, politicians, this is what they do. When they want their story told, they have it leaked through intermediaries. And then when they're questioned about it, well, I can't believe it got out. I can't believe that somebody would, at this stage of the game, I'm so disappointed. I'm just so, okay. Well, okay, Aaron. Aaron Rodgers did, however, speak to Twin Spires the official website of the Kentucky Derby. And look, I know how this went down because I've been there, and I've been there with Aaron Rodgers when he doesn't want to talk about this, that, or the other thing. He agreed to do the interview on the explicit instruction that he not be asked about the situation with the team, or he would walk out. That was spelled out beforehand. I'm certain of it as sure as I'm sitting here doing a podcast today, because I've been there. But this is what he did say. It was a whole lot of nothing. It runs almost 5 minutes. So if you want to fast forward through it, now's your opportunity. And we'll see you on the other side. No points off, no hard feelings. But if you want to, here is 5 minutes of Aaron Rodgers talking about the Kentucky Derby and not really saying anything of consequence.
Reigning NFL MVP Aaron Rodgers joins us on Twin Spires. Aaron, what is it about the Derby that keeps you coming back year after year?
Well, it's not always like this, but the weather is obviously amazing today. But it's just the excitement. You know, it's different this year with less people, but there's not many things more exciting than the feeling, you know, whether it's the first race of the day or the Kentucky Derby or the Oaks yesterday. When the horses all get in the stall and they're off, it's exciting. And when they come down the backstretch, there's not many greater feelings, especially when your horse is in the lead.
True. Tell me about who's part of your regular Derby crew.
Usually it's a lot of teammates. So I've brought current and former teammates for years now. I started with one of my college teammates 13 years ago, I believe. And it's kind of morphed over the years. This was kind of a last second thing because we didn't know what was going on with COVID. Plus, my agent, best friend, just had a baby, so that kind of took him out of the running to come to it. He's been a part of this for so many years. But, you know, I have a couple of a current teammate, former teammates. This year we brought some couples, smaller group. Usually we're down on the turf terrace. This year we're up on a box. So it switches every year, but it's a lot of fun.
Now, you've been in love with this sport for a while now. In the future, do you see yourself potentially as a racehorse owner and potentially looking for a Derby contender?
I think it'd be fun. You know, Matt Flynn, a former teammate of mine, has staked some horses over the years that have raced on Oaks Day and in Derby Day. That would be fun, but I don't have any desire to really get involved like that. I've gotten to meet Dwayne Lucas over the years, Bob Baffert, some of the great trainers and some of the jockeys, and it's exciting. I have so much respect for what they do. It's an athletic. The jockeys are super athletic. To be able to stay in that position the entire track, to understand the horse, when to push the horse, when to pull the horse back, the strategy and how to go about the race is so phenomenal. I love that. It's just part of the fun in it. The whole process of raising a horse up and the way they train it and getting to be ready for this and the lead up races and all that stuff is exciting to watch and to follow. But today is all about, you know, picking horses you like, jockeys you know you have a familiarity with from watching over the years, and then, you know, a little intuition and a lot of luck, I think.
I was going to say the other fun part of racing is betting. The most popular bet with Twin Spires is a win wager. What about you? What's your betting strategy?
Long shots. I love all the long shots, and you know, like the more chance bets, the exactas, trifecta, superfecta. You know, the pick three, pick four, pick fives. Those are fun, I think, as well, because you're kind of in every race and you can pick multiple horses. It's kind of like craps. You know, we first played craps at a casino. Like, you have really no idea what's going on other than the pass line. You play for a while, you realize there's 100 different types of bets you can do. Same thing with racing. You realize there's so many things you can do, horse you can bet on, types of bets. It's fun to bet, you know, across the line, one place show, but I like the long shot stuff and the you know, trifecta, superfecta stuff.
Well, have you got a long shot for us in the Derby then?
You know, another best friend is here I've known for, 25 years. Their daughter is named Brooklyn. So we're all going to be pulling for Brooklyn Strong today in the Derby.
At very big odds as well. And you say you like your exactas and trifectas. Who are you going to put underneath Brooklyn?
I have no idea. I haven't even looked at it yet, but I usually like to put, you know, at least the favorite for, you know, I like long shots. And I remember Mind That Bird, I think, was the first Derby I came to. And Mind That Bird was a 50-1 and won. But the last four or five, it's been the favorites. So you got to put the favorites in your trifectas and supers based on the last few years. Obviously, with a firm track today, that usually bodes well for the favorites. So you got to put some of those in there. But you never know. It's all about, you know, like pole position, the stall position and how they get off, and if they don't get bumped, if they get in their position and get into the race, there's so many things that can happen. That's why it's exciting. And a lot of it, you know, is like almost like March Madness, where, you know, maybe your fiance is picking a bracket for you. She goes by, you know, colors or team names or something and does better than you, you know, being a big fan of the sport. Same thing with horse racing. You know, it's like maybe the colors the horses are wearing or the name of the horse and might have better luck doing betting that way.
There's a gentleman here today by the name of Mattress Mac who's going to wager between $2 million and $4 million on the favorite Essential Quality. I was just wondering, do you bring that sort of bankroll with you to the races?
Hell no. No, I mean, I love this, but I'm not trying to do any life-changing money bets out here. I'm just trying to make some nice little small bets and have fun.
Well, thanks so much for your time talking to Twin Spires. Aaron, all the best. Have a great Derby day.
Thanks a lot.
So there's that. It appears everything that we've speculated over the last year is true. Aaron is pissed off that the Packers drafted his replacement without telling him it was a possibility. Is he being a petulant child about all of this? I mean, I get why he was upset, but when it gets this public and this ugly with the demand allegedly of the GM or me, you wonder what's next. The Packers cannot fire Brian Gutekunst. They can't. It's not going to happen. Aaron Rodgers knows that. If that's what the line in the sand is drawn, he's forcing the Packers to get rid of him. And I don't think for a second that Aaron Rodgers isn't looking at the Tom Brady situation where he didn't feel Brady, felt like he was getting the credit that he deserved for getting the Patriots to, what, 9 Super Bowls and winning 6 of them? He felt like Bill Belichick was getting more of the credit and taking more of the credit and claiming more of the credit than Brady. And Brady said, you know what, I'm going to show you. And against all odds, he engineered his exit from the Patriots and went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team that hadn't won a playoff game in a decade? A decade and a half? Hadn't won a playoff game. So it's not like he was ring chasing to go to a team that was ready to go to the Super Bowl. This was a team that had some talent, especially at the skill positions, had a couple of really good wide receivers, had a coach in Bruce Arians that would let Tom be Tom, but would also hold him accountable and coach him, because Bruce Arians does not give a flying crap about who you are or what you've done. You have to, you know, Bruce Arians, this is a guy who's seen it all. This is a guy who was an assistant under Bear Bryant, for crying out loud, at Alabama. So he doesn't have time for anybody's bullshit, including Tom Brady's. But this was a talented team that just hadn't, you know, made that next step. There isn't anybody in the world that thought that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were going to win the Super Bowl. And they did. What a crowning achievement for Tom Brady's career. To get out underneath the specter of the only team that he had ever known. A team that he had taken to the promised land 9 times and won it 6 times. He leaves and immediately his next team wins it. And he cements his legend. The only knock on Aaron Rodgers has been, yeah, you're a great quarterback, maybe one of the best to ever do it, but you've only won once. You've only won 1 Super Bowl. Is that Aaron Rodgers' fault? No, I don't think it is. I think a lot of it is Ted Thompson and Brian Gutekunst's fault. I was blistering Ted for years. Be more aggressive. Be more aggressive. If you have this generational Hall of Fame talent quarterback, surround him with the most talent that you could possibly have right now and go for it. If it means that your team is going to suck 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years down the line, but you have a chance at the brass ring, you take it every time. The Packers have 13 NFL championships, more than anybody else. Nobody can take any of those 13 away. Nobody can take Tom Brady's 7 rings away. I mean, if you're the New England Patriots, as mediocre as they were last year, as mediocre as they may be after, you know, Bill Belichick leaves, they still have 6 championships. Nobody can take that away. Nobody can take away the fact that the New England Patriots were a generational team. I'll give you another example. The Chicago Bulls of the 1990s. They won six NBA championships in the 1990s. They have sucked since Michael Jordan left and they broke. I mean, we all watched The Last Dance a year ago, right? They have sucked ever since. But you know what? No one can take away those six Larry O'Brien trophies that the Chicago Bulls have. So if it means you mortgage the future because you have the opportunity to grab the brass ring now, you do it. That was always my criticism of Ted. I will never believe that it's more important to be consistently good than to be a team that wins a couple of championships and then, you know, pays for it down the road. If the Packers would have three world championships, four Super Bowl world championships with Aaron Rodgers, and then after he retires, if they're a sub 500 team for 8 out of 10 years, is the trade-off worth it? I absolutely believe it is. But back to Aaron being a petulant child about all of this. Again, I understand why he was upset. I do. I told that to John Kuhn the other night. They should have gone for it in 2019. But when this gets public and it gets ugly with the demand of the GM or me, I mean, you got to wonder what's next. I mean, we all know the Packers aren't going to do that. But why I put the ultimate blame on the organization is that they knew what Aaron Rodgers was. They've been dealing with his petulance for 16 years. Aaron Rodgers has always been oversensitive. Always. You can make the argument that's what's made him a great player. Okay, maybe. But it has not always served him well in his interpersonal relationships. It has not always served him well. I mean, look, we know about the issues with his family. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is a bad guy. I just think that he's got some social awkwardness at times. But the Packers always knew this. They always knew that he, and Brian Gutekunst was there when he was drafted. He's not new to the, I mean, he's newish to the job. I mean, he's been on the, he's been the GM for now four drafts, so it's not like this is brand new to him. But he's been with the Packers for 25 years. He saw the way that the Favre divorce happened in 2008. How do you not take that lesson and apply it to what's going on now? How do you do that? It boggles my mind how the Packers allowed this to get to the point of where it is, how they weren't able to manage the massive ego that Aaron Rodgers has always had. That's one of the jobs of an organization. You have to manage expectations and egos. And nobody's ego is bigger than QB1. And that's just not in Green Bay. I think everybody's... I mean, look, you see what's going on with Russell Wilson in Seattle. He wants more say in personnel. Well, he's got a massive ego. He's QB1. Every QB1 that's done anything... I mean, you don't think Tom Brady has a massive ego? Oh, it's out of control. But again, I will always think that he got that Tampa Bay Buccaneers ring, number 7... Don't fit it for the ring finger. Fit it for the middle finger for when I drive by Bill Belichick's house because I'm going to show him my Buccaneers ring. As for the draft, which, oh yeah, that happened too. And so it went. We'll go through the Packers picks. Eric Stokes, cornerback out of Georgia. He's got good size. And boy, oh boy, can he run, but he's really, really raw. This was a player that a lot of folks thought was going to slip into the second, maybe even the third round, just because he's really raw. But I will give him this. He comes from, obviously, a big-time program in Georgia, and he's covered all of the best wide receivers that are coming into the NFL. He's played big-time football, had 4 picks last year, which is very good. Again, but just a little bit raw, has some trouble locating the ball. But man, oh man. You can't teach speed. You can teach the other stuff, but you cannot teach speed. So as far as Eric Stokes, I mean, that was a position of need. Cornerback is always going to be a position of need. Can he step in and start from day one? I think there's an opportunity there, but you know, he's going to have to come in and compete, but there's a lot of expectations on the number one pick, the first round draft pick, obviously. I would say the same thing probably about Josh Myers. A lot of the same things that I would say about Stokes, I'd say about Myers, even though they play wildly different positions. Josh Myers, a versatile offensive lineman, but when there was a need at Ohio State, he stepped in and played center. He's ready to go. He is really good at recognizing stunts and blitzes, and he's got very good first step quickness. Just needs to get a little bit stronger. They can do that in the weight room. And after the Packers lost Corey Linsley to the Los Angeles Chargers in free agency, they needed a center. Josh Myers, I think, is going to be one of those guys who steps in from day one and is able to start. 6'5", 312. He's got the size. Just has to get a little bit stronger. But I like that pick a lot. I love, and I mean love, the selection of Amari Rodgers. Another big-time player that played in a big-time program. Amari Rodgers, the top target of the number one overall selection, New Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence. He reminds a lot of people of Deebo Samuel. Defenders kind of glance off of him. He's got good athleticism. He gets open underneath, tracks the ball well. The only knock on Amari Rodgers is that he's a little bit undersized, 5'10", 210, but he can also play the slot. And he knows how to play the slot. His father is T. Martin, the former Tennessee quarterback, but he's been a coach for a long time. T. Martin, a wide receivers coach. He was the wide receivers coach at Kentucky when Randall Cobb was there. T. Martin, offensive coordinator at USC, then went back to Tennessee. So, I mean, really good bloodlines there, but also a relationship with Randall Cobb, who is one of the best slot receivers that the Packers have ever had. And that's what they've been desperately needing. They need somebody to be not only a slot, but someone who is just a legitimate number two and a consistent number two as well. Love the pick of Amari Rodgers. Royce Newman, offensive lineman, he can play anywhere. They've got another player with positional versatility on the line. Great handwork. Fourth round pick. I think he's a great value pick. Just has to get stronger. But Royce Newman, 6'6", 310, I think he's a great pick for the Packers. Now, there are a couple that I do question. To Darryl Slayton, defensive lineman out of Florida. He's a nose tackle. He does have some ability to climb through the line, but not necessarily what you call athletic for that position. So to Darryl Slayton, we'll see what they can get out of him as a fifth rounder. Shamar Jean Charles, a good cornerback, inside, outside guy, comes out of Appalachian State. So not a big time program, but someone who's played, you know, some big time football games over the course of his career. The one that I think a lot of Packers fans are going to love is Cole Van Lannen. But the thing that about Cole Van Lannen, and he's a great story, don't get me wrong. Love Cole Van Lannen's story, but he hasn't been the same player at Wisconsin the last couple of years. Probably is going to need to move from tackle to guard. He's a really good run blocker. He's got good handwork, but, you know, a sixth-round pick, if you can get something out of him. Look, Mark Tauscher was a seventh-round pick, right? And sometimes these guys just kind of blossom when they're given the opportunity to play for the team that they grew up rooting for. So, you know, I'm not going to get too worked up over anything after the fifth round. Cole Van Lannen, a sixth round pick. I don't know that he's going to be a star. Honestly, I don't know that he's going to make the team. But I think it's a great story that, you know, a kid that grew up in the Green Bay area, went to school at Wisconsin, gets drafted by the Packers. Obviously, I wish him well. Again, the story certainly of the Packers draft. Isaiah McDuffie, linebacker out of BC. He is a sixth rounder, and they wrap things up with another running back, Hylan Hill, out of Mississippi State, but I think they might have something with Kylan Hill there, just a good value pick. But again, the Packers had 10 players that they drafted in this year's draft, so they're not all going to make the team, obviously. As for GM Brian Gutekunst,
we have a very good football team coming back, and we picked 9 guys in today's draft and signed a bunch as we're, you know, right as we speak here. And I do, our football team is going to be a hard team to make. At the same time, the quality of the individuals, the talent level, and not only that, but the people that we're bringing in from this particular draft class, I feel very good about improving not only the top of our roster, but then also kind of the back end as well.
So we'll get a good look at all of these guys as training camp rolls around, and whether or not number 12 is going to be under center, there's a lot to be said about that between now and training camp. And you know, you hope for the best if you're a Packers fan, because there's a lot of unknowns if Aaron Rodgers doesn't come back. And it just, and it's not a knock on Jordan Love. This is a guy who didn't ask for any of this. This is a young man who all he's done is come in and he's done everything that's been asked of him. But if you're expecting three Hall of Fame quarterbacks in a row to go from, you know, Favre to Rodgers to Love, I think that's asking an awful lot. And again, Jordan Love might be a perfectly adequate starting quarterback in the NFL, but I think anybody that's going to come after Aaron Rodgers, there's that's who you're going to be judged against. Is it fair? No, it's not, but that's the reality of sports. But finally, we wrap things up with Aaron Rodgers and his teammates looking on. Saturday was the 147th run for the Roses.
All in line and ready for the start. They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And off to a solid beginning here, and it will be Medina's Spirit who comes out the best to take the early lead. Soup and Sandwich on the outside, away running in second. Helium is close up to the pace in between those two, and these three will lead them early. And then it's Hot Rod Charlie behind them, Mandaloon on the inside. The Central Quality is outside of horses and four lengths from the front early. And then it's Superstock, followed by Highly Motivated. Rock Your World's coming from well off the pace here as they make their way into the turn. He's a good 10 lengths off the lead. Then toward the inside, it's Old Pesos. They're being followed by Midnight Bourbon, who's well off the pace as well. Mike the King is next on the inside. Then Brooklyn Strong. Dynamic One is next. Note Agenda, followed on the outside by Hidden Stash. And at the back of the pack earlier, Bourbonic. And the trailer is Keep Me In Mind. The first half mile was 46.7 seconds, and Medina Spirit leads them up the backstretch. The Bob Baffert trainee is three quarters of a length in front. Soup and Sandwich on the outside second. Mandaloon drafts in right behind the front runners, third of the inside. Then it's Helium in fourth. Hot Rod Charlie behind them. Central Quality begins to move on the far outside as they make their way around the far turn. Medina Spirit is still the leader here. And Mandaloon comes on the scene on the outside, a half length behind. Central Quality is put to pressure. Hot Rod Charlie right in behind the leaders. Flabby and Pratt asking him to go now as they make their way to the top of the stretch. Medina Spirit and Mandaloon are stride for stride. Hot Rod Charlie and Central Quality closing on the outside. The four of them come into the final furlong. Mandaloon fighting for the front. Medina Spirit battles on. Hot Rod Charlie on the outside. And Central Quality on the far outside. The four of them coming to the finish in the Kentucky Derby. Here's the wire. Bob Baffert does it again. Medina Spirit has won the Kentucky Derby. Mandaloon was second. Hot Rod Charlie was third. Central Quality was fourth. 2:01:02 the final time. Bob Baffert stands alone with seven Derby wins.
Larry Kalmus on the call for NBC. That's it. That'll do it for this edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. You can always find us on our socials. You can email the show, DougRussellPod@gmail.com. Instagram and Twitter is @DougRussellPod. For everything, though, you can find us on the internet. You can find all of our shows. You can download all of our shows. You've got the back catalog there as well. Very simply, www.DougRussellPod.com. Coming up on our next show, we're going to look back in time to when Milwaukee County Stadium was our playground. We're going to have a really fun conversation coming up a little bit later on in the week. That'll do it for me. We'll see you next time right here on the Doug Russell Podcast.